Andrea from Lemoore, California, and you're watching Gospel Tangents, your best source for Mormon history, science, and theology.
I'm Rick Bennett. John D. Lee was the only person convicted of his role in the Mountain Meadows Massacre. In our next conversation with historian Will Bagley, we'll talk about some of the other details of this awful tragedy. Check out our conversation. Hey, I also want to remind you that if you haven't signed up, it's one of your last chances to sign up for this free book, The Whites Want Everything. So this is signed by Will Bagley. It was written by Will Bagley. And if you would like a free book, sign up at gospeltangents.com/Bagley for your chance to win. Sign up today.
All right, so let's jump back to the trial.
Oh, okay. So no, we're back at September 10th, okay. The day before.
So the first attack occurs on September 7th.
Yep.
That basically they literally circle the wagons, the Fancher party, and then they dig in because they're trying to defend themselves.
Yes, and they're fighting back a lot harder than the clowns from Iron County who attacked them, and including John D. Lee, who's put in charge of actually running the operation. And it's one blunder after another. And these people are tough. These are frontiers people from the South. They can shoot well, and they hold out for 6 days, 5 days, from Monday. No, they camp on Sunday. They hold out until Friday. And at that point, the Mormons send in a guy named William Bateman, who had defected to California. And it was a test of how loyal he was, whether he'd follow orders. And Lee follows up with a wagon with a white flag, and he persuades the Arkansans to do some very odd acts. And the first is, he cooks up this story saying that he needs to divide them into three parties: the wounded and the youngest children, the women and the older children, and the men. And he will put an armed guard at the side of every man, so the Indians don't spring out of the bushes and kill everybody. Now, this is all fairly suspect, but what does Lee also do? He gives these Arkansans Masonic handshakes, which are
a sign of protection.
A sign of the Masons do not betray other Masons. But John D. Lee did, without a thought. And the Arkansans agree to this.
Because by now they're running out of ammunition.
There's no water.
No water.
They've been shooting at them any time they try to get to water. It's a complete and total mess. But what follows is very arguably the most horrible incident in the history of the American West, where white people kill white people. And that's the basic story of what Mountain Meadows is and why it horrifies the rest of the United States so much, and why it gets the Mormons in such deep trouble. And the Mormons know this, because they're given the cover story immediately, and they don't believe it. They know what's going on in the little kingdom of Brigham Young, and they know that nothing happens in the kingdom of Brigham Young without his permission and orders. And think about this. Okay, in the cover story, the top military officers, Dame and Haight, decide, we better get the High Council to approve this. And they call a meeting on Sunday night, and they put it to the vote, and the High Council, led by Isaac Leeny, won't do it.
And so, this is before September 7th or after?
This is on September 6th.
Oh, the night before. Okay.
Yeah, the night before the attack. And so they also, the State High Council says, let's send a messenger up to ask Brigham Young what we should do. Well, that's in the cover story. But you know what was really going on? And this is what other senior military officers do when they're responding to orders from Brigham Young. They ask for orders. They want written orders. And so Haight goes out and he picks a musician named... Oh, jeez. What's the writer's name? Starts with an H.
Isaac Haight?
No.
I'm not sure who you're referring to.
He carries the letter that is called the Haslam.
Haslam.
James Haslam.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a musician named James Haslam, and Isaac Haight goes and says, want to carry a message up to Brigham Young? Well, now, wait a minute. This is the American West, right? And so word comes to your town that there are Indians attacking a wagon train. What do? You go, oh, we better send a letter 250 miles away and wait for a response, which is going to take quite a long time, and maybe those Indians will be able to kill all those people. Well, that's not what would happen in your typical frontier community. The community would band together, go out and relieve the immigrants. True? Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
But in Mormon land, you got to get permission from the top dog. And that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is Haight and Dame don't want to take any action without written orders. And they want those orders from Brigham Young. And they've already been through George A. Smith instructed to launch this attack. That's why they put it together. And
so you think this is just a cover story? You don't think that any of this happened? Well, you do think that they met, right? Do you think that the High Council met?
Yeah.
They didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then
they wouldn't approve it.
Concocted a story to send Haslam up to Brigham Young and say, what should we do?
No, that was the leaders putting that one together. I think it's often attributed to the High Council. But
okay.
Yeah, somebody on the High Council.
So the High Council.
Yeah, ask Brigham Young about this.
Okay, so the High Council said, no, we don't support this attack.
Yeah.
Haight and Dame said, oh, well.
No, the Council does ask to get somebody. And in 2 days, let's see, 24 hours later, Haight finds Haslam, and he finally gets on the road. So they've already blown 24 hours. It's not a top priority. And they know that whatever they send up to Salt Lake, by the time it gets back...
It's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late. And obviously, they wouldn't have done what they did without being pretty confident they were going to get orders to blame the Indians. The Indians will do as they please. And one of the tricks that Brigham Young had learned in the crime family known as Mormonism is as you execute a crime, create an alibi. And that's what the Haslam letter is.
So you think that's just an alibi for Brigham?
It's just a concoction to get Brigham Young off the...
I mean, Haslam did go north.
Yes.
But the attack... So you're saying that the attack had already happened on September 7th.
And he knew that.
And he knew that, but yeah. He pretended not to know when he went to go see Brigham Young?
No, he told Brigham Young that they'd attacked the immigrants.
Okay, so this is just a cover story.
The response is...
Yeah.
It's an alibi. And that's exactly how it's been used. But this is my opinion, having studied it in depth. And those who love Brigham Young will insist that the cover story is perfectly adequate. And there wasn't any cover-up. And we can blame it all on John D. Lee. And maybe we can throw Isaac Haight under the bus, too. Oh, well. But anyway... So, in the middle of all this, as Haslam is loping his way up, and it takes him quite a while to get to Salt Lake, who's rushing into Salt Lake? A quartermaster. Oh, jeez.
It's not Jacob Hamblin, is it?
No. It's a captain. Oh, as all this is going on, and as Haslam is wandering up to Salt Lake, Stuart Van Fleet, who is an Army quartermaster, has been sent by the Army to go to Utah and tell Brigham Young what's up.
Okay, so we're jumping to the Army.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they get into town, and Brigham Young has spent the last month stirring up war fever. And he comes in, Van Fleet, who'd known the Mormons in winter quarters and at Fort Kearney, and quite liked the Mormons, says, "No, we're not coming out here to do anything about your religion or your polygamy or anything. We don't care. But we do need to establish a military district, because every other square acre in the West has a military district, and that'll put the responsibility to deal with the Indians on us." And so Brigham Young is now assured that they're not coming out here to hang him, and that's when he writes in the middle of this visit, he writes a letter to the Haslam letter to Isaac Haight.
Okay.
So he already knows that the Army is not coming in here to hang him. And he also knows that it's too late to really save the immigrant train. And it's likely that he will be accused of engineering this attack, which I'm convinced he did. But what happens in the massacre itself traumatizes the 50 to 60 to 70 men who executed it. And there are a number of them who killed themselves. It's an appalling
number of Mormons who killed themselves after the massacre.
Yes, yes. Because they can't live with it. And the Mormon people are not pleased about this. Juanita Brooks recounts a couple of the statements of how upset people are about it. And there's several of them in my book, too. But by this time, the deed is done. And the question is, how are they going to resolve it? Now, Albert Cummings shows up in March and takes over as being governor and starts getting paid for it. And until that time, Brigham Young is the governor. And he doesn't do anything to get the crime prosecuted. He files reports that the Indians did it, when he's got to know that there was a lot more involved. And Lee, in his confessions, says he told Brigham Young all about it. Brigham Young said, "Well, let me go sleep on it overnight, and I'll let you know what to do in the morning." Well, the church records show that Lee apparently arrived on September 29th. And the...
Arrived in Salt Lake.
Arrived in Salt Lake. And he says it was in the evening. And he and Brigham Young sat and talked about Mountain Meadows. And he told him everything about it, including all who was involved. And Young sleeps on it and prays and comes back and says, "The Lord's talked to me. Everything's okay. But now you have to tell the apostles that it was an Indian attack. Blame it all on the Indians," which is pretty much what we have in Wilford Woodruff's account. which is one of the great rocks of the Mormon alibi.
Well, yeah, I was gonna talk about that, because that was what I noticed in your book was, so you believe that Lee went and spilled his guts, told everything to Brigham, but then Wilford Woodruff says Lee didn't tell the truth, and I know that's what Richard Turley has said in my previous interview.
It was a staged event to give the apostles a way to explain it. Blame it on the Indians.
Okay, so let's make sure we're clear. So you're saying that Lee told the truth immediately on September 29th, said Mormons did it, we're to blame. Brigham said, well, let's blame
not to blame. They're celebrating it. It's a big deal. They carried out their orders. They did what they were told to do.
Okay. And then Brigham now says, well, we can't say that.
This
now.
Is going to be a mess.
This is going to be a mess. And so Lee, I want you to talk to the apostles, and I want you to blame it all on the Indians. And so Lee did that. And so that's where we get the Wilford Woodruff story, where Lee blames it all on the Indians.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the phrase, innocent.
And so that's the issue, whether between you and, say, Richard Turley, did Lee tell the truth? You say he did. Turley says he didn't. Is that right?
Okay.
Is that a fair statement?
If you believe that John D. Lee would lie to his adopted father, who would control whether or not he was admitted to heaven, and then you don't understand the nature of Brigham Young's power. Brigham Young boasted about his spies. He said in conference, I am watching you. I have my threads throughout the territory that I may know what you are doing. And Lee knew that because he was one of Brigham Young's threads and informants. And he knew that if he lied to Brigham Young, Young would figure it out in pretty short order. And besides that, five other leaders and participants in the massacre show up in Salt Lake in October for conference. Haight, Dame, Higbee, and a couple of others. And they're gonna lie to Brigham Young? This requires a massive conspiracy, and I don't believe it happened. And I once asked Hal Schindler, I said, well, Schindler, Hal, what do you do about Wilford Woodruff's account? And he looked at me and he goes, Wilford Woodruff would have written whatever John D. Lee or Brigham Young told him to write. And I'm pretty sure that's true, too. But I think it was actually a staged event.
So it was staged, so that the apostles had plausible deniability. Lee blamed it on the Indians. We're going to go with Lee because we don't believe of any Gentiles anyway, because they're all a bunch of liars. And so therefore, that's where the story is, that Lee lied to Brigham Young and the apostles.
That's the source of it. Yeah.
Okay.
But the question is, would Lee be dumb enough to lie to Brigham Young? And you're going to hang an awful lot on that if you bet that, oh, yeah, he lied.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with historian Will Bagley. I'll let Will introduce our next conversation.
We're now dealing with the cover-up, which begins in 1857, and for my money, is still going on.
Okay.
For those of you who are interested in the entire interview uncut without any interruptions, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview for just $5 a month. Also, we have other tiers. If you'd like to subscribe on our website at gospeltangents.com, click on the yellow subscribe button and you can subscribe for $10. You can also do that on Patreon and get a PDF transcript. We've also got some other ones for $15 and $20 if you'd like to get those as well. If you're interested in individual transcripts, go to Amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see our past interviews there in paperback form. So just check out Gospel Tangents. We're always updating those. For the latest updates on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Gospel Tangents, and you can see our latest updates there. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And please give us a 5-star rating for those of you who listen to audio only. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.